The writer of the letter to the Hebrews tells us in chapter 11, verse 1, that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Or as the Revised English Bible puts it, faith gives substance to our hopes and convinces us of the realities we do not see. So within the context of faith, what room is there for certainty? To have faith is to fervently believe something. But that's a long way from being scientifically sure or being able to slap down on the table some all-embracive proof that means that we can do away with faith altogether. We walk by faith, not by sight. So I'm always concerned when I come across people and churches that have answers for everything. Citadels of certainty that seem to have cornered the market in the truth so that anyone who doesn't agree with their view of how everything is, or who holds some sort of contrary view, well, they're seen as not being quite the real thing and are to be avoided. This arrogance certainly makes me cringe from time to time, as it seems to be a million miles away from Christ's mission and ministry here on earth, that mission of reconciliation and love that we celebrate every Easter. So are we in the business of dealing with certainties in our faith? And what is the place of doubt? When Jesus spoke to his disciples after his resurrection and said, "Stop doubting and believe," did he really have in mind the sort of arrogant certainties exhibited by some today? You see, to me, doubt is not the opposite of faith. It is an element of it. The opposite of doubt is certainty. And the opposite of faith is fear, not doubt. Faith is about risk, whereas fear is about paralysis. Faith risks believing that Christ was raised from death and that there is something more than this life and what we experience day by day. Fear paralyzes, faith empowers. If you can accept that the opposite of doubt is certainty, then I have to tell you that in our faith, we don't deal in certainties. I hope that doesn't make you feel too uncomfortable, but let's explore the ideas of surrounding doubt, certainty, faith and fear. If you want evidence that the opposite of faith is fear, look no further than those first disciples who gathered together immediately following Jesus' death. They were paralysed by fear, locked away in that upper room, for fear of the Jews. There is your evidence that fear paralyzes. Their world had changed, it had come crashing down around them. Christ had died, and all they'd hoped for had come to nothing. But into this fearful situation comes the risen Christ, speaking peace. And yet, as we know, Thomas was not there, and so misses out on the actual presence of Christ. His reaction is entirely understandable, and I have every sympathy with Thomas. On the face of it, what is so unreasonable about what he asks when he questions the disciples? Doubt is something we all have to live with, and that's fine, because we don't deal in certainties. We do not have all the answers to everything. We walk by faith and not by sight, and whilst faith is the assurance of things hoped for, we're still dealing with matters of faith and not matters of certainty. That's what the story of Thomas is all about. It's in the Gospels for our benefit, as an encouragement to us. So I'm eternally grateful for Thomas because he's like me. He has faith, but it is faith that struggles to come to terms with the reality of what he's experienced in his life. What is it in your experience that makes you doubt? What is it that makes you appraise your faith and wonder about it? There can be many things, in my view. It may be an illness. It may be the death of a loved one. It may be a deep sense of failure about something that you thought would turn out better than it has. It may be a sense of lack of fulfillment. What paralyzes your spiritual life? What fear do you have to conquer? Is it the sense that God is not there just when you need him the most? It's what we do with our doubts that I think holds the key. Doubts can destroy or they can point us to something very deep within our experience of God. For my part, I can speak of the deaths of two of my children and think about the effect that had and continues to have on my faith. To reduce it to its simplest, I think it concentrates my mind. Of course, there are things that are really difficult to bear, things that are really difficult to understand, and things that bring you to the edge. But when you get there, you have to ask yourself, what are the alternatives? If you don't take the risk and walk the way of faith, then you're only left with an alternative which looks like despair and fear. Faced with that stark choice, you have to grit your teeth and launch out into the deep. You take your doubts with you. They are your constant companion as you journey the sea of faith. That's not to deny the resurrection, but it is to acknowledge that we all have times when it is hard for each one of us to walk the way of the cross. It is better to walk that road and experience the agonies and struggles of faith than to curl up into a ball and decide not to walk the way of the cross at all. Failure can be forgiven. It's what being a Christian is all about, forgiveness. Christ appeared to Thomas 1 week later, and then he expressed his belief in the risen Christ, my Lord and my God. And we are invited to look to Thomas as an example and to come to the same conclusion that he came to. In the same way, look at Peter's Pentecost sermon. The man who had so easily denied Christ 3 times is now standing before a crowd, preaching that he'd been raised to life. What a transformation in that man. Doubts, certainties, faith, fear. What are you carrying around in your baggage today? A mixed bag of them all would be my guess. Well, don't beat yourself up about it. God knows what we're like, and that's why Christ came. And I say again, he knows what we're like. And I don't think he wants us to trade our doubts for a Taliban-style certainty, but he does expect us to walk with him, just as he walked with those disciples along the Emmaus Road. We're on a journey of exploration, and just maybe, when we do journey, our eyes will be open and we'll catch a glimpse of the risen Lord Jesus. In that sense, stop doubting and believe.